Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Benson Fixon, and I'll be your host tonight on Inside MLB. And tonight, your host, Benson Fixon, will be discussing Scott Kazmir to Astros, latest trade details, comments, and reaction. Fans, remember, you taking me part of the show. If you call in at 516-666-9990 or enter our chat at www.blogsrvdu.com/InsideMLB. Let's get started with one of the biggest breaking news today. Scott Kazmir, field for that, folks, was traded to the Houston Astros, and we'll be giving the latest trade details, my comments, and reaction on this whole breaking news today in the world of baseball. The Oakland Athletics selected to trade starting pitcher Scott Kazmir to the Houston Astros on Thursday in exchange for pitcher Daniel Mendenhall and catcher Jacob Nottingham. The Athletics announced it makes sense that Oakland would want to deal Kazmir away. A 31-year-old southpaw is a three-time All-Star whose contract expires after the season. I grew up being an Astros fan. Watched Bagwell, Biggio, all those killer bees when I was a kid. And it's pretty special to be back. Come back, Kazmir said. According to Brian McTaggart of MLB.com, Kazmir posted a message to thank his former ace teammate, the organization, and his fans. I want to thank my teammates, the A's organization, and the fans for a wonderful year and a half with Oakland. But we didn't reach all our team goals with my time here. We had a great group of people. And I'll always look back at this chapter of my career with fondness and gratitude. The Astros have had an amazing season thus far. Look forward to joining my hometown team for what should be an exciting, intense stretch run. And then that was tweeted out by Scott Kent. And then Lev Bater of the San Francisco Chronicle read a comment from Billy Beane following the move. And Lev Bater tweeted out, being on potential for further trades, it's possible, reiterate, math doesn't not necessarily work well in our favor in terms of standing. Our guys just go to a really sharp break, but when we come back, we'll finish this up. I'm so sorry, we have some once resolved. Back. We're back on the side of the technical difficulties. We're resolved, and it's now time to move back right where we're let nature tweet out. Being on potential for further trades, it's possible, reiterate, math doesn't necessarily work in our favor in terms of standing. And then they sure again tweeted out. Being says the fact that A's aren't contending for division alleviated concerns about trading within the AL West. And again, last day sure tweeted out, being on fan reaction, had we done nothing at the end of the year, reaction with them, why didn't you get something for him? Kazmir likely wouldn't stick around the A's unless their front office put together an unforeseen, tremendous sales pitch in the winter. Oakland is known for running a shoestring budget and would have been hard-pressed to meet his impending salary demand. Houston may have its work cut out to keep Kazmir along the haul as well. The Astros might just be renting him for the remainder of the 2015 campaign. For potential, without which, Evan Drellick of the Houston Chronicle reported Kazmir is expected to make his Astros debut in the series against the Kansas City Royals. Lefty feels a massive need for Houston. Outside of A's, Dallas Keuchel on that to the Colors. No Astros started in the area under 4.25 on season. According to ESPN.com, Kazmir slipped immediately into the second spot in rotation and will provide the sort of stability the unit has lacked all season long. It seems inevitable that Kazmir would be moved at some point. As Ken Rosenthal, Fox Sports reported, the six teams were in attendance for the Colors' first start prior to the All-Star break. The left tricep issue caused him to move around that day. Although Kazmir insisted it was super minor, that's a bit of a risk. Houston is taking on. And then Zachary Bleacher of Inside MLB noted the risk for the Astros. And Zachary D-Rimer did tweet out, the one worry Astros fans should have is over whether Kazmir can stay healthy. But if he can, they paid a small price for a good pitcher. Another possible red flag is that Kazmir's postseason record isn't too stellar. He posted a 1-2 record in 8 appearances with 7 starts and a 5.28 ERA. It's not definitive sample size. And he has reinvented himself since the last playoff appearance in 2009, managing to still be effective despite diminished velocity. A chance to just be in the hunt for the World Series may be enough to galvanize catching, going from an unpromising situation in Oakland to a club with at least a chance of snagging the commissioner trophy. Kalidim, who inspired baseball and closed the year strong. Kazmir is the antennas of a huge payday on the horizon, an opportunity to redeem his lackluster playoff resume with the Astros, even if he doesn't stick with the club beyond the near future. While he didn't have to give up for a possible reason, maybe it will work it if Kazmir has the best self on the stretch. Okay, so that does it for Scott Kazmir's Astros trade. But if you call, we had our two installments of this, Inside out will be 20 for 20, and today we're gonna be projecting the top 20 starting pitchers in 2020. And again, this is our third installment, if you recall, maybe catchers and third baseman. Our last time on third baseman, number two guy was Manny Machado, the Orioles, the number one guy. Who just came out today, it was the second most popular jersey seller of Chris Bryant of the National Cubs. And one person, and I personally don't like any of those guys, Chris Bryant in the NL Central. Not a good guy in my opinion. I mean, he's a great player. Just don't like him. And then, Matthew Bumgarner, if you're a Pirate fan, how could you like him? You know what he did to us, sharing up the wild card game. I mean, they're great players. We're just guys I wish were on the Pirates, I could say, for sure. That's exactly what I wish. What are the case instead of what's happening right now, them being Pirate stewards instead of Pirate winners? I don't know. It's just my little opinion on the whole scenario and the jersey sales. But anyway, we're doing the top 20 starting pitchers in 2020. And again, we did catchers and third baseman. And as you recall, we start out with Jared Breakdown scoring. We're going to honorable mentions, and guys are going to be a bit too old. And then we just keep moving down the line, and then eventually get to the top guy. There's a very exciting process for me and for you guys, because when I do my research, I figure out the most I'm excited at who I'm going to have. And when it all comes to fruition, it just makes me happy that I have this 22-point list. And I think it's a pretty interesting show for your friends. There's a lot of these guys are prospects. Some of the latter guys, though, may happen to be in big, just a little bit, or like in their mid to high 20s. As I said, it just excites me when I do make these lists. And just a quick hint, I like to apologize about Will Mack for not being here lately. He's been on leave because of some family issues, but he will be back pretty soon, just as soon as he can get his act together. Baseball is a tough sport to predict on a day-in, day-out basis, and it becomes exponentially more difficult to predict looking years into the future. But that's exactly what we're doing. The following is the third installment of Jerry Sweet Dubs. Inside MLB is 20 for 20. And this year, we'll attempt to project the top 20 players to each position 5 years down the road. We've done catcher and third baseman so far. Now we'll move on to the pitcher. The big change that needs going in here is that the starting pitchers will be graded on a 95-point scale as opposed to a 100-point scale by position players. Why the difference in points possible? Put it simply, position players carry a bit more value than pitchers to the fact that they influence a larger percentage of the team's game during the season. The position player versus pitcher debate is one that will continue to shift and evolve over time. For now, we're sticking with prevailing thought that position players carry slightly more value. With that said, then look at how the 95-point scale lines up. Their repertoire, 40 points. This area covers the arsenal of pitches a pitcher has at his disposal, his overall velocity, and his strikeout rate. Command, 30 points. This focuses on a pitcher's walk rate and any improvements he's made in commanding his secondary pitches for overall walk rate in recent years. Durability, 20 points. Injury history was a big factor here. The mechanics, frame, and passing total were also taken into account. And upside, one more impact. Players were given a bonus based on their upside moving forward. A 3-point bonus indicated that a player is expected to be at essentially the same level 5 years from now. A more or less than indicating expected progression or regression. Not hybrid. On more than one occasion, players graded out with the same overall point total. In that case, first tiebreaker was to have the highest upside factor. And that's been softened the second tiebreaker was overall repertoire score. All basics, statistics, and war numbers come courtesy of baseballreference.com. All advanced stats come from FanGraphs, and detailed pitching stats are from Brooks Baseball. Stats are current through July 22nd. Hopefully, that paints the clear picture of how players were graded and where some information originated. So with that out of the way, let's get things started with our honorable mentions and our our honorable mentions. I believe our better guys that are going to be eliminated because of their age and expected regression. So let's get right into those. The honorable mentions and people eliminated because of age and expected regression. And I mean, this is one of my favorites because it just shows you the guys that will be 21, 22, 23, 24, and 25. And the guys that are doing really well right now, but might not be there because of their age. So, let's get moved into this. And our next 10, Jose Berrios of the Minnesota Twins, Archie Bradley of the Arizona Diamondbacks, Dustin Colas of the Houston Astros, Aaron Nola of the Philadelphia Phillies, Garrett Richardson of the Los Angeles Angels, Marcus Stroman of the Toronto Blue Jays, and to see how he rebounds from his ACL injury, Masahiro Tanaka of the New York Yankees, not sold on his long-term health, Julio Teheran of the Atlanta Braves, and Rodon Ventura of the Kansas City Royals. Others are seen in strong consideration. Mark Appel of the Houston Astros, Trevor Bauer of the Cleveland Indians, Tyler Beede of the San Francisco Giants, Kevin Gausman of the Baltimore Orioles, John Gray of the Colorado Rockies, Hunter Harvey of the Baltimore Orioles, Andrew Heaney of the Los Angeles Angels, Jeff Hosmer of the Toronto Blue Jays, Grant Holmes of the Los Angeles Dodgers, Ron Sutter of the St. Louis Cardinals, Stephen Mass of the New York Mets, Terry Mello of the San Francisco Giants, Mike Montgomery of the Seattle Mariners, Sean Newcomb of the Los Angeles Angels, Daniel Norris of the Toronto Blue Jays, Jake Lorenzi of the Tampa Bay Rays, Michael Pineda of the New York Yankees, Alex Reyes of the St. Louis Cardinals, Eduardo Rodriguez of the Boston Red Sox, Drew Smiley of the Tampa Bay Rays, Robert Stevenson of the Cincinnati Reds, Steven Strasburg of the Washington Nationals. Hard to know what to make of him at this point will be 32. Paul Stewart of the Minnesota Twins, Zach Wheeler of the New York Mets. And time for us excluded because of age expected regression. And our first is Jake Arrieta of the Chicago Cubs, Clay Buchholz of the Boston Red Sox, Johnny Cueto of the Cincinnati Reds, Yu Darvish of the Texas Rangers, Seth Fister of the Washington Nationals, Yohani Gallardo of the Texas Rangers, Zach Greinke of the Los Angeles Dodgers, Cole Hamels of the Philadelphia Phillies, Corey Kluber of the Cleveland Indians, John Lester of the Chicago Cubs, Francisco Liriano of the Pittsburgh Pirates, David Price of the Detroit Tigers, Justin Marsh of the Chicago White Sox, and Raul Sanchez of the Detroit Tigers, Max Scherzer of the Washington Nationals, Jim Shields of the San Diego Padres, Justin Verlander of the Detroit Tigers, Adam Wainwright of the San Diego Cardinals, Jared Weaver of the Los Angeles Angels, and last case, Jordan Sterling of the Washington Nationals. Assuming the chart number comes here. As Taiwan Walker of the Seattle Mariners, a very highly thought prospect, and I think just cracked the big. His 2020 repertoire outlook, 33 out of 40. An elite athlete who was more of a basketball player in high school. Taiwan Walker has quickly turned his raw talent and performance on the mound, but consistency is still an issue. He began this season in less than stellar fashion with a 7.33 ERA through his first nine starts. He then won 6-1 with a 1.68 ERA through his next seven starts. He struggled again of late, though allowing 16 earned runs from 15 and third innings over his last three appearances. Walker was primarily a fastball cutter guy as a rookie, but he turned more to a split changeup as his primary secondary pitch. He still throws a cutter and also the curveball, but it all starts with locating his mid-90s fastball. 2020 command outlook, 22 out of 30. Walker posted 4.3 walks per innings in 38 innings of work last season. And while he's trimmed that to 2.3 walks per nine this season, his overall command still needs work. His athleticism should help him refine his overall stuff. The 2020 durability outlook, 15 out of 20. Last season was supposed to be the coming out party for Walker. The right shoulder inflammation cost him 63 games and wound up limiting him to just 8 games by start. He has a strong 6'4", 235-pound frame. He profiles a future workhorse if he can avoid future shoulder issues. The 2020 upside factor is 4 out of 5. Walker is still in the developmental stage of his career. As a 22-year-old has shown flashes of greatness, from Mitch inconsistent. He's capable of taking a big step forward and producing like he did for a couple of months this season over a full year. His 2020 overall projection is 74 out of 95. The Mariners have Walker under team control for the 2020 season, and he won't be arbitration eligible for the first time until after 2019, according to Fox Sports' Andrew Ball. The team has balked at the idea of trading him in the past, so expect him to be part of the long-term picture. I'm just using the brief when we come back. We're going to go from 19 to 1, and inside that will be 20 for 20 in certain series categories. Please stay tuned in, and you do not want to miss it. So during the break, please join for you guys. Guy on the list, that is Carlos Rodon, the Chicago White Sox. His 2020 age will be 37, and his 2020 repertoire outlook is a 32 out of 40. Carlos Rodon was the consensus number one overall prospect in the 2014 draft, heading into his junior season at North Carolina State. But a subpar performance in the spring caused him to slip into the Chicago White Sox at the number three overall. It didn't take him long to reach the majors, where he quickly jumped into the rotation. Through his first 12 starts, he's gone 3-3 with a still work in progress at this point, but his slider is already plus strikeout pitching on his mid-90s fastball. The development of his changeup or a third offering of some sort will be key to his progression. His 2020 command outlook is a 21 out of 30. Rodon has posted a 5.6 walks and 9 marks so far as a rookie, but his walk rate was just 2.8 walks per 9 during his final season at NC State. So there's no reason to think this man won't come around as he gets more comfortable at the big league level. 2020 durability outlook is a 16 out of 20. He has a workhorse build with a strong 6'3", 235-pound frame, and there are no significant injuries on the medical report. It's just a matter of seeing how he handles an advanced workload in the years to come. His 2020 outside of Packers was perfect, 5 out of 5. But he has been thrown into the fire this season to learn on the fly, as he was more of a finished product when he began his pro career than some of the other prospects on the foot. That being said, this one is as high as any young pitcher in the game if he can prove the command and go out and start. And the 2020 overall projection is 74 out of 95. The early call for Rodon this year puts him in a good spot for Super Tuesday. But the White Sox moved quickly to lock up with Chris Gale and Jose Quintana in recent years, and they couldn't stand with Rodon. And our number 85 in this one is Shelby Miller of the Atlanta Braves, formerly on the St. Louis Cardinals, traded for Jason Hayward this past offseason. And I think that's a pretty good trade for both teams. But nevertheless, let's move into why I think he's number 85 for 2020, inside MLB 2020. Sort of picture flip. So, you know, we started with our age, we went up to our command, upside factor, and then the overall projection, and the path to after that, Carlos Rodon. And, yeah, there was a 74 out of 95. A pretty good score to start off, but let's move to our number 89. As Shelby Miller of the Atlanta Braves, 2020 age, I believe is 29 years of age. So currently, his age right now is 24 years old. So he's playing really well. He's a great Cardinals prospect now in the Braves, as I said earlier. And 2020, Shelby Miller has always had tough stuff, dating back to his early development at the St. Louis Cardinals bullpen. But he's finally starting to put it all together this season. After going 25-8, he has a 3.41 ERA in 2 seasons in the St. Louis rotation. He was traded to the Atlanta Braves during the offseason. He has taken his game to another level. Aided by a billion first month, he's gone 5-6 with a 2.33 ERA and a 1.162 WHIP to earn his first All-Star nod. The mid-90s fastball is still the weapon it's always been, but the big change has been the emergence of his cut fastball, which is thrown 20.4% of the time, compared to 6.2% last year. Those 2+ offerings paired with a good curveball have allowed him to take the next step. 2020 command outlook is 23 out of 30. Command was an issue at times for Miller during his time in St. Louis, as he had 11 games with 4 more walks in 2 seasons at the start, and 3.3 walks to 9 overall. He told that to 2.9 walks to 9 so far this season, as his overall control has undoubtedly improved. On the durability outlook, 16 out of 20. Miller has not had any notable issues with his arm so far, but it will be interesting to see how he holds up down the stretch of the season. He has yet to reach 200 innings in a single season, though in a pure high 183 last year. But a 6'3", 215-pound frame is still handle significant workload. His 2020 outside factor is a 3-5. Finding a reliable second pitch and improving his command with the 2 big boxes no need to check off entering the season. And he's done just that in his first year of the break. 24-year-old is now a legitimate frontline arm and should pair up with Julio Teheran atop the Atlanta rotation for years to come. And his 2020 overall projection is a 76.5. Flipping free agent to be Jason Taylor for Miller, who was under team control through the 2018 season, looks to be the best move the Braves made during a busy offseason. He'll be due a significant raise in his first go-round with arbitration this coming offseason, and extension could be around the corner. Okay, let's go to the Braves. When I come back, it'll be time to go through 17. I'll do my explanations, and we'll go through the conclusion as usual. But during the break, please get tuned in and enjoy.
Thank you.
quarterback on outside MLB and our number 17 guy is Chris Archer of the Tampa Bay Rays. He's the return number 16 guy. That is Carlos Martinez, our number 15 guy on this list. He is Julio Urias, prospect currently for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Our number 14 guy is my own Tyler Glasnow of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Our next guy is this is a tough issue for first, but overall, I saw that Phil Hernandez and Seattle Mariners was a good choice. And our number 12 guy on this list is Dallas Keuchel of the Houston Astros. And our next guy on this list, moving on to the top 10, is number 11, Jacob DeGrom, also known as Thor, which is moving to our number 10 guy, cracking the top 10, just barely, is Matt Harvey, again, another New York Met. They just have so many great pitchers, and no surprise that they're 11 and 10 right now. Number 9 guy is Michael Walker, the St. Louis Cardinals. A good young guy, has pitched well in the playoffs. Hopefully, in the Cardinals system for many years now. And our number 8 guy is Sonny Gray of the Oakland Athletics. Our next guy on this list is number 7, Lucas Giolito of the Washington Nationals, a highly touted prospect. And our number 6 guy is Noah Syndergaard, another New York Met. I mean, these guys have so many. That's 3 in the top 11. There's so many pitchers. Harvey, Syndergaard, DeGrom, they are loaded. Let's do a really fast round because there's 9 seconds left in the show. Number 5 guy is Jose Fernandez of the Miami Marlins. And our number 4 guy is Madison Bumgarner of the San Francisco Giants. Our number 3 guy is, again, another Pirate, Garrett Cole of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Our number 2 guy is Chris Dale of the Chicago White Sox. And here goes. Our number 1 guy on this list is, figure it out together. And again, our number 1 guy on this list is who else but Clayton Kershaw of the Los Angeles Dodgers. And let's just do a speed of all his info. So with 32 in 2020, his repertoire is 38 out of 40, commanding 28 out of 30, durability 18 out of 20, upside 3 out of 5, overall projection 87 out of 95. Thank you for tuning in. My name is Spencer. I always appreciate when you can tune in. Well, Matt Carl is not available again today, but he's very close as usual. Hopefully, he'll be with us tomorrow. A quick scheduling note. I'm going to be going to Florida on upcoming Wednesday. But hopefully, I'll be able to do a show on the road. If not, we'll most likely take over for me. If we do not do a show today, I sincerely apologize. Thank you for tuning in. When I take on the national stage, lock on that.